Exodus chapter 4 and verse number 2. It says, "And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod." Amen. We're just going to read that one scripture. We're going to use that as a springboard. I want to preach tonight, what is in your hand? Amen. What is in your hand? Praise God. Let's pray and let's ask for God's anointing tonight. Lord, I love you, Lord. God, I love your word, God. I'm so thankful for the word of God. I'm so thankful for our understanding and revelation in your word, God. God, I ask that you would anoint this word to every heart, to every life, to every situation, God. You know the needs that are represented here, God. We give them into your hands. We trust you. We praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You can be seated this evening. Praise God. Praise God. It's good to be in God's house. So very good. I'm enjoying thinking about the service that we had Sunday night, Brother Vaughn. What an awesome service. Amen. We were talking to him afterwards, and he was apologetic. He was a little worried that he stepped out of line a little bit. He was kind of jovial and joking and having a good time. But through all of that, we had some good laughs, but we also heard from God. Amen. God spoke to us. God spoke to us that each and every one of us, God has a calling and a purpose for us. He has something that he wants us to do, and he's preparing you for that. Praise God. This verse that we read in Exodus is pulled out of a very familiar story in the Word of God. God has spoken to Moses, and if we were to go back to chapter 3, we see Moses talking to God at the burning bush, and God is telling him that he's going to be used to deliver the people of God out of Egyptian bondage. You know the story. But Moses has his doubts. He doesn't totally believe God. In fact, he doubts God, that God is able to do this, and he doubts in his own ability. He asks God, he says, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? Who am I? I'm nobody. Why would you send somebody like me? Surely there's somebody better to go and do this for you." He goes on to ask, "Who do I tell Pharaoh has sent me? Who do I tell him is the person who sent me to deliver the people?" And God answers Moses, and we're not going to go into all of it, but he tells him, "Don't worry. I've got this under control. I know what's going on, and I'm going to work it all out." Amen. Moses doesn't see it. Moses doesn't understand it. He doesn't know how God's going to work it all out. And a lot of times, whenever God calls us to something, whenever God tells us to do something, we don't understand the order of how it's all going to transpire. We don't always know how God's going to work out all the details. We just have to trust that God knows better than we do which direction we need to be going. Amen. This was still not enough for Moses. He tells God in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 1, he says, "They aren't going to believe me, nor hearken to my voice. They're not going to listen to what I have to say. They're going to say, the Lord has not appeared unto you." And this is when God asks the question that we read in our text. What is in your hand? What are you holding on to there, Moses? What do you have in your hand? What do you possess right there? God knew what was in his hand, obviously. In fact, God had ordered the steps of Moses. Amen. Moses left Egypt. He fled from Egypt after he slew a man. And the Bible says that he went through out into the desert and he came to a man by the name of Jethro, who later became his father-in-law. And this man gave him a job. And that job was to be a shepherd. That job was to tend the sheep. We find that if we were to read it, and we're not going to go into all of it, but it says there in the Bible that Moses must have learned these ways because the Bible says he kept the flock of Jethro. So he was a shepherd. And it's customary for a shepherd to carry a rod or a staff. They would call it a shepherd's staff or a rod. And they would use this to correct the sheep. They would use it to rein in the sheep, to give the sheep direction if they were going astray, if they were going in the wrong way. And so God knew what was in Moses' hand. In fact, God had made it so that this would be in Moses' hand. Praise God. God will put things into our hands for a reason, even though we don't understand it. And it isn't just so that we can get increase or just so that we can prosper. God does not always put things in our hands for our benefit. But he puts things in our hands so that his will can be done. Amen. In the case of Moses, this shepherd's staff was not benefiting him a whole lot. It just made him smell bad. Amen. But he put him in that place, and he put that rod in his hand so that he could use it for the glory of God. And there's so many examples of this. If you think about it, probably the one that comes to mind the most is the story of King David. Amen. Another shepherd. King David is the perfect example. He learned to fight, and he learned to battle while he was just a shepherd boy, while he was watching over his father's flock. The Bible says that he fought off a lion and a bear. Praise God. And God built upon that. Eventually, that staff turned into a sword. And we know how David became one of the mightiest warriors in all of history. The Bible calls him a bloody man. And if you read about it, he was a mighty man. He did great things. He did awesome things. He would go into cities and he would kill. You know, there's if you talk about David and Saul, that Saul got upset because they came singing and they said Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. This man David was a mighty warrior. But David understood where his power came from. David understood where this ability came from, and he didn't take credit for it. Psalms chapter 144 and verse 1, a psalm of David, it says, "Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight." Praise God. All of this because David was willing to use what God had put into his hand. When he was young, he had that shepherd's staff in his hand, and he was willing to use it to protect the sheep and to fight off the lion and to fight off the bear. And when God put a sword in his hand, he used it effectively to fight for the children of Israel and to fight for the kingdom of God. Amen. Whatever it was that God put into his hand, he teach my hands to war and my fingers to fight. It doesn't necessarily have to be a weapon. Amen, for God to use it. I know the thought of that's cool to us guys here tonight. We like the sword play and all this, you know, the battling and all that. That sounds cool to us. Amen, but if we were to come up against a lion or a bear and all we had was a shepherd's staff, no doubt we would probably run the other way or hide. Amen. Because we didn't understand, we didn't have the courage that David had. Maybe some of you guys do. I don't want to discredit. I know Dan would probably stand up to the lion. Amen. Praise God. We think it's cool that when we have a sword in our hands, but no matter what it is that we have in our hands, God can use it. No matter how big, no matter how small, no matter how insignificant it may seem, God can use it for His glory. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. Turn there with me this evening. The words of the preacher, Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. It says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." Praise God. "For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." So we understand tonight that this verse, this chapter, or this book, I should say, was written by Solomon, David's son. And we, if you read into Solomon and you study it out, we understand that after David's bloody battles and after his fights and everything that he did, that during Solomon's reign, during his kingship, that he had a time of peace. He didn't go to battle. He didn't fight. He wasn't like his father David. But he didn't experience war. He does understand, however, that we only have one life to do something for God. We only have this life and this opportunity to do something for God. And as we get older, it gets a little bit more difficult. So when we're young, we need to take advantage of our youth. We need to take advantage of the energy that God gives us in our youth and do something for God while we have the ability. Now, I'm not saying that if you're older that you can't do something for God. Please don't misunderstand me. But use what energy God has given you. Use what God has given you to do something for Him. Praise God. We need to do it with all of our strength. But you might be saying, well, what if I don't know what to do? What if I have this staff in my hand, but I don't know what to do with it? Brother Vaughn preached about it the other night. He preached about it on Sunday night. God is not going to ask you to do something that He has not prepared you to do. When God calls you to something, or God prompts your heart to do something for in the kingdom of God, or to go somewhere, or whatever the case may be, God is going to prepare you step by step and piece by piece so that when you get there, you're going to be well equipped. Amen. I've heard it said before, and maybe you've heard it, God does not call those that are equipped. God equips those who are called. He gives you the ability, even if it's something that you don't understand. Praise God. He's going to give you the strength that you need to be able to fight. He's going to be able to give you the ability that you need to complete whatever it is He's calling you to do. Amen. I don't know if you've noticed it before. Some people are oblivious. But there's a picture above the door that comes into the sanctuary. Amen. Does anybody notice that picture? A couple of you? Amen. What does it say? Does anybody know? It says, the will of God will never take you where the grace of God will not protect you. Amen. And that's so very true. God will never lead you into a place. God's not the type that's going to say, okay, I want you to go do this. And then when you get on the road to go do it, He's going to say, okay, good luck. Pat you on the back and say, call if you need anything. That's not how God works. God equips us. He gives us the abilities that we need. He gives us the strength that we need to be able to do His will. Praise God. God's not that type of person. He's not only going to prepare us, but He's going to be with us every step of the way. If God calls you to do something for Him, He's going to be with you every single step of the way. Praise God. He teaches my hands to war. Amen. When David was a shepherd boy, even though he was probably pretty rowdy and he was probably pretty rough and tough. Amen. He had older brothers, obviously, so he knew how to fight. He knew how to hold his own. Amen. But he didn't know how to fight in a battle. He didn't know how to war. When he went to fight against Goliath, he didn't know how to fight a giant. But God was with him, and everything that he had done up to that point prepared him for that battle. So when he swung that stone around, don't tell me for a minute that was the first time that he had ever put a stone in that sling and started to spin it around. Don't get me wrong. I believe God gave it a little extra oomph. Amen. But I believe that David was skilled. God had prepared him for that moment. Praise God. You just need to let God use whatever it is that you have in your hands, no matter how big or how small it may seem to you. Praise God. John chapter number 6 and verse 5. Turn there. John chapter 6 and verse 5. It says, and when Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company coming to him and said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove them, for he himself knew what he would do. He knew what he was going to do. He was only doing this to test their faith. He wanted to see what they would say. And Philip answered him, he said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. If you were to read that in another translation, it says you would need about a year's wages to buy enough bread for each of them to have a single piece. Praise God. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? What are we going to do with this little amount? This little amount isn't going to be enough. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, and in the number about 5,000. That's men, not including women and children. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them which were sat down, and likewise the fishes as much as they would. I kind of imagine almost like my grandmother. Amen. When I would go over to her house and I would eat and I would get done with my plate and she's like, oh, you just need a little bit more. Oh, there's just a little bit more. Are you hungry? Did you get enough to eat? You look famished. And that's what I kind of imagine, that these people are sitting around and they're eating and God begins to see, oh, well, they're finishing their plate and the disciples are going around. They said, did you get enough? Do you need a little bit more? Praise God. Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he's testing them to see what they would say. He wanted to see if they had really picked up all that he had taught them up to this point. Praise God. So Philip is the first doubter. Thomas gets a bad rap, but Philip doubted first. Philip was the man that had been with Jesus from the very beginning, and he had seen miracles performed by him. He had seen lame healed. He had seen the sick raised. He had seen dead raised. Amen. If anybody could feed the masses, he knew that Jesus was able. But yet our faith, our flesh doubts because we can't understand it. We can't see how God's going to work it out. We can't see the order of how God's going to make it happen. If Jesus could make the blind to see and the deaf to hear and raise the dead, then how would providing one of man's basic necessities seem like such a hard task? Praise God. It's almost as if this seems small. It seems almost too small. You know, Jesus can heal the sick and he can raise the dead, but we don't need to worry about feeding people. That's just nothing. We'll just send them away so they can go find something to eat. These people were trying to figure it out on their own. Amen. Verse 8 and 9, Andrew jumps in with the facts. He tells Jesus, as if he didn't already know, that there was a lad that was nearby that had some fishes and loaves. But then he interjects his own lack of faith and his own doubt. He says, but what are they among so many? They were saying, what are we supposed to do with something this small with a need that is this big? How are we supposed to take care of this problem by ourselves? God wasn't looking for a year's wages. God knew how to deal with this situation. Amen. The Bible says he knew before he even asked. He knew how he was going to work it out. He wasn't expecting them to provide food for all of these people by themselves. He was simply looking for faith in the ability of God to do something great with something so small. He was wanting to see what we were willing to do with what we had in our hands. That young man had some fishes and loaves in his hands. He said, what are you going to do with that? Well, this isn't enough. Well, then you don't have enough faith. Because I'm able to bless it and to break it and to multiply it. Amen. And I guarantee you, when they left that place, their faith was increased greatly. Verse 12 says, when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remaineth, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with fragments of 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Now, I don't know how big the baskets were. I don't know how big the basket was that the boy had the 5 loaves and the fishes in. But 12 baskets seems to me like a whole lot more than they started with. Praise God. It's hard to think of that even being possible. If you start with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, how can you end up with 12 baskets of leftovers? They ended up with more than they started because that's how God works. God provided enough for that meal and for a midnight snack. Amen. He provided lunch and some leftovers for dinner. Amen. And maybe the next day and the next day. Because that's how God works. That's how God works if we will let him use what we have in our hand. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Probably a verse you can quote. Maybe you don't know where it's at, but you can probably quote it once I start. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Is that what your Bible says? Amen. It doesn't say the power that works only in certain people. It doesn't say that God is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works in the preacher or in the evangelist or in the missionary. Amen. As Brother Vaughn said, there are missionaries sitting in this church. And that doesn't mean that you're going to have to go to Mexico. That means that God is calling us to be missionaries in our own way. God desires to use us. That scripture says that is according to the power that works in us. That's you. And that's me. Say, that's me. Praise God. If God has filled you with the Holy Ghost, He desires to use you for His glory. He desires to work miracles, not only in your life, but through you. Praise God. And did you know that a small miracle is still a miracle? We like to think of raising somebody from the dead. That's awesome. I mean, I would love to see somebody. Well, I don't want to see somebody fall dead, but you understand where I'm going. But I would love if somebody, God forbid, if they did fall dead, that God would raise them from the dead right before my eyes. Praise God. Let it increase our faith. But a small miracle is still a miracle. The word miracle in the Bible means a sign, a token, or a wonder. So often when we think of miracles, we think about the things that Jesus did, raising people from the dead, and amazing physical miracles like making the blind to see or the deaf to hear. That's awesome. And those things are awesome. I'm not downplaying them. God's still able to do those things. God's still able to heal in that same way. And God is able to raise people from the dead. I haven't ever witnessed it, but I have heard accounts of people praying for individuals that have fallen dead, and God brought them back to life. And you can believe that if you want to or not. Amen. But I'll tell you, it comes from a reliable source, and I believe it. We need to understand that miracles are performed not only to meet needs, but to serve as signs to those that would see them or to hear them. Amen. God works miracles. Can I tell someone tonight that when you give your life to God and God turns it around, that it's a miracle? Amen. It may seem like a small miracle if you were close, you know, you were a pretty good person before you came to God. But I'll tell you, when God got a hold of me, He worked a miracle in me. Amen. Brother Wirth's pastor, Brother Stanford, I listened to a message that he preached once, and he was talking about, he was at a conference, and there was several men that got up, and they were talking, and they all had kind of a theme that they were going on, and one would get up, and he said, what we need is a sovereign move of God. And then the next man would get up, and he says, I agree with this brother. What we need is a sovereign move of God. And then Brother Stanford, and you'd have to know him, and he's kind of a little ornery a little bit, or he was. And so he got up and he said, I'd like to announce that I am a sovereign move of God. Amen. And he is. He was, because God set him free. God worked a miracle by bringing him into the church. God worked a miracle by filling him with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost and delivering him from his past. Praise God. And if God's done that for you, God's worked a miracle in your life. Praise God. Amen. And other people, when I came to God, I remember people would see it. People would notice. And some of you, people would say, oh, well, that person's going to your church. I remember they used to do this and they used to be like that. And man, they don't do that anymore. They've really cleaned up and something's changed in them. Praise God. It was a sign of what God can do in a life when we give it into His hands. Praise God, when we give ourselves over to Him. Praise God. You might be saying, well, I don't know how to do anything with what God has given me. Well, neither did Moses. Moses had no idea how to turn a staff or a rod into a serpent to be a sign before Pharaoh. Let God work all that out. You may be saying, well, I don't have the ability. Well, neither did the boy who brought the fishes and loaves. God's not asking us to be the ones that work the miracles. He's asking us to give Him what's in our hands so that He can work the miracles through us. There is no ability or talent in any of us that is able to perform any of these miracles. I can't heal anybody. I don't want to break it to anybody if you thought I could, but I can't heal anybody. I don't have it in my ability. Amen. But I can pray for somebody. Amen. And I can have faith that God is able to heal their bodies. Amen. And we can bind together as a church and we can pray collectively for God's healing and God's grace and God's mercy. Amen. God is able to work through us, through His church. He has called us to be used by Him. We just have to give Him what's in our hand. Praise God. Let's look at another example. Mark chapter 4 and verse 30. Mark chapter 4 and verse 30. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all the herbs and shooteth out great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Excuse me. Most of us have read this story or heard this story before. And I remember I was preparing, I was thinking back. We used to, when we had teen class, we actually planted some mustard seeds. We actually planted them in some dirt and put them in the sun and watered them. And we didn't grow them big enough that any birds could land on them. But it's pretty amazing how out of something so small that you can grow something out of that. We probably had some that I would say, I don't know, 9 to 12 inches tall coming out of a little Dixie cup or a little plastic cup. Amen. And it was kind of interesting to see what would happen whenever we would plant them. I think it's interesting that God compares the kingdom of God to a teeny tiny little mustard seed. But it's not just a mustard seed that's sitting on a shelf somewhere. It says He compares it to a mustard seed that is sown. Amen. A mustard seed that is sown. Regardless of the situation, God is able to make something big out of something small. Amen. When you're going through the course of your day, amen, and maybe you're rubbing shoulders with people on your job, or maybe you're at the grocery store, whatever the case may be, and you speak a word to somebody. Maybe they're going through a difficult time, and you're talking to them, and you may not even be talking about church, and they're just telling you, oh, well, this happened and that happened, and you tell them, say, well, you know what, I know that God's able to work it out, and I'm going to be praying with you about that. You just sowed a little seed. And it may seem small. It may seem small like a mustard seed, but God can make it to grow up into something huge. God can use that. Amen. God can use that. If we have just a little bit of faith, God has something to work with. And if we take even a little, get a scripture and give it to somebody. Speak a word of faith to somebody. No matter how small it is, give God the opportunity to use it for His glory. To draw somebody. Well, what do I get out of that? You don't get nothing. But you get to see somebody come into the house of God and feel the presence of God and give their life to God and see God fill them with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And if you don't think that that's awesome, amen, well, you're missing out. Because I think it's awesome every time I see somebody come to the house of God. Every time I see a visitor walk through those doors. Amen. We have something to offer them that this world can't offer. And that churches, a lot of churches can't offer. Praise God. God can use a little faith to not only minister to others, but He can also use it to help our faith grow even more. When you try something, try God. Try it. Sow a little seed and water it with prayer and try God and see what He'll do with it. Praise God. Luke chapter 21, verse 1, he says, and he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance have cast into the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. This principle that we're talking about works the same way in our giving to God. We need to understand that everything we have, everything we possess comes from God. Everything. I don't have anything that God didn't provide to me. I don't have anything that God didn't bless me with. Well, you might say, well, I worked hard and I earned that money. Who do you think gave you the strength to be able to work? Who do you think opened the door for you to have that good job that you're working on? Amen. Who do you think woke you up in the morning and gave you the strength to go through the course of your day? Amen. If God didn't open the door, you wouldn't have that. Praise God. I've heard people ask, how can I afford to give to God? And I simply reply to them, I can't afford not to give to God. I can't. I have to. And not. I don't want to say it that way. I don't have to. I have a desire to. Because God has blessed me so richly. Amen. Is there anybody here that is better off since you came to God? Amen. I think just about everybody. Everybody, I think everybody, those of you that are shy and didn't want to raise your hands, but I think every single one of us are better off since we came to God, since we gave our lives to God. That's because God richly blesses those who give. Amen. God has blessed me so richly that it would be selfish of me not to give back to Him. Amen. And not, I'm not just talking about my tithe. Amen. The tithe is for the ministry. That is commanded in the Word of God. If we don't give of our tithes, the Bible says that we are stealing from God. Amen. I don't want to be a thief. I don't want God to think of me as a thief. But it also goes beyond that, and it says that we should give an offering, which is for the church. Amen. That's not for the ministry. That's not to cover the support of the pastor. That's so that we can keep the lights on. That's so that we can keep it at 72 degrees in here. And Nellie's like, well, we can turn that off. Amen. But that's so that we can keep it nice and cool in here in the summertime and nice and warm in the wintertime. That's so we can have the money to replace the carpet when it gets torn up. That's so we can have the money to repaint the outside and the inside of the church so it looks presentable when we have visitors come. Amen. And it's not just one person's obligation to cover all of that. But it's all of our obligation. Amen. When people come into this house, when people come to this church, I want them to be impressed with what they see. I don't want to be ashamed of anybody coming to the house of God. We have a beautiful church. Do you know why we have a beautiful church? Because we have faithful people that are willing to give. Amen. We want our church to look nice. We want the lights to be on. How embarrassing would that be if people came to church and we hadn't paid the electric bill and we couldn't turn the lights on? We could have church. I'm not downplaying that, but it would be a little embarrassing. Amen. Or if the AC wasn't running. Amen. We had service. We tried to have service in here once when the AC was out, and we ended up moving it over to the Sunday school side where the AC was working because we're spoiled. Amen. And I'll say amen to that. I'm spoiled. Amen. I need AC in the summertime. Praise God. But we want to bless the work of God. We want to bless the house of God because God has blessed us. No matter how big or small the contribution, no matter how much you think the church, it's so small, the church doesn't need that. Every person's giving is important. Every person. From the youngest to the oldest. Amen. If your children get some money for doing something on a job, you need to teach them to give. You need to teach them to tithe. Well, it was 10 bucks, and I'm just supposed to give a dollar? Yes. Because $10 is going to turn into $100 or $1,000. And we want to teach our children the principle of giving. Not out of necessity, not out of requirement. It's not just another bill that we pay, but it's giving. Well, if God wanted it, why didn't He just keep it? I mean, He could have just kept the 10% and gave me the rest. That's not how it works. God wants to see where your attitude is. God wants to see where your heart is, because you get to choose how much you give to God. The tithe is easy. The offering isn't as easy. Amen. How much do you want to bless the house of God? That's your choice. Amen. Brother Wirst did not pay me to say that. I'm just letting you know. All right? Amen. But I, you know, this is my church. Does anybody else feel that way? When I talk about the church to people, I don't tell them I go to New Life Tabernacle. I tell them this is my church. I take ownership. This church belongs to me, or at least a portion of it, because I have put blood, sweat, tears, and money into making this church. And I know that many of you have. Amen. We have faithful people, and I commend you for your faithfulness. And if you're not giving in the offering, or if you're not giving tithes, I encourage you, don't miss out on a blessing. Don't miss out. You think that you're doing all right now. How much more blessed would you be if you were more faithful in your giving? You've heard it said before. Amen. And this isn't even in my notes. I don't know why I'm talking about all this. But you've heard it said before, you can't outgive God. Amen. Try it. Oh, well, I'm going to start tithing on double my salary. We'll see if God can do that. Try God and you'll know. Amen. Praise God. God has put money into our hands. Amen. He wants to see what we're going to do with what's in our hands. 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 9. It says, "Arise and get thee to Zarephath." We know the story. "Which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he was come to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. That wasn't a coincidence. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee." She was already on her way to get him something to drink. He said, "Hey, bring me a morsel of bread in thy hand. Bring me something to eat." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." What a dire situation. And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. And bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son." Verse 14 says, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." Now, if we were to look at this story on the surface, it almost seems like the prophet is being a little selfish. He's hungry. They all were hungry at that time. And he says, "Bring me something to eat." He was kind of using his position and his authority. And he said, "You know, God sent me here. Bring me something to eat." He said, "Bring me something. Bring me a cake in your hand." He's asking the woman to give it to him first and then to worry about herself and her son. But he isn't being greedy. He asked for just a little cake from the woman, something small, something minute. He wasn't requiring everything that she had, just a small piece to see where her faith was, to see if she was willing to give him what was in her hand. Praise God. He wanted to see if she was going to keep her fist closed tight. Some people, when they have something, they don't want anybody else to have it, and they keep their fist closed tight so that nobody can get a hold of it. But he wanted to see if she was going to trust him and give him what she had in her hand. Verse 15, "And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and her house and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he had spake by Elijah." If we are willing to give to God first what we have in our hands, even if it seems small, even if it seems minute, even if it seems insignificant, God will take care of the rest. God is going to give the increase. God can make something small in our hand grow into something amazing. God's going to make sure that we're taken care of and that our needs are supplied. But not only our needs, God's going to use what we give to him, and he's going to use it as a witness. He's going to use it so people can see and they can know what God is capable of. Amen. Sister Reed, would you come this evening? I want to ask us today, what's in your hand? Well, I've got a microphone in my hand. I'm not talking literally. What do you possess? What's in your hand? What do you have? What do you have? If you have a job today, God has placed those people that you work with in your life so that you can be a light to them. Those people and that job are in your hand. Amen. Are you going to give that to God? God gave you that job. Are you going to give that to God? God, I'm talking to this person. God, I want you to minister to them. I want you to open a door that I could speak a word of faith to them. Amen. If God gave you a home, a place to live, a roof over your house, over your head, God gave you neighbors so that you can reach them, so that you can be a witness unto them, so that they don't see you at home living a different lifestyle than what they see you living at church. But they see you living a holy, separated life unto God at your house. And when you're out and about, praise God. If you have a ministry, if God has called you and you're being used in some way, God has given it to you so that you can do it with all your might. Amen. He said that if the men would hold their peace, that the rocks would cry out in praise. If we're not going to do what God desires of us, if we're not going to do what God has called us to do, God will replace us. There is nobody in this church that God cannot replace. And I include myself in that. There is nobody that God is not able to replace. Because God's will and God's purpose will be done. I want to be a part of that. Amen. If God's called you to something, you need to do it with everything you've got in you, to the best of your ability. And if you don't have any ability and you don't know how to do it, pray. And let him teach your hands to war. Let him teach your fingers to fight. Amen. Let him teach you how to do what it is he desires for you to do. Amen. Don't think for a minute just because God calls you to something that you're going to know how to do it from day one. Amen. If God has blessed you financially, God wants you to have the right attitude and not just hoard it all to yourselves. There are people that God blesses financially for the financial blessing of the church and for the kingdom of God. Amen. If you feel like God has blessed you in abundance, amen. What are you going to do with what's in your hand? Are you going to keep it? Are you going to hide it away, bury it in the ground? Or are you going to let God use it? You're going to give it to him, give it to his purpose, give it to missions, give it to something, give it to the building fund, whatever it may be, whatever God lays on your heart. But don't hide it. Praise God. God desires for us to utilize what he has placed in our hands for his will, whatever that may be. And I'm not going to tell you what God's will is for your life. It's not my place. That's between you and God. We just need to realize that God put everything in our lives and in our hands for a purpose. We need to be willing to allow God to use it as he sees fit. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together tonight.